Now, every once in a while, someone delivers a speech that has immense impact. I don't know if the speech that Dr. Ben Carson delivered yesterday at the National Prayer Breakfast is going to be one of those speeches. I know it ought to be one of those speeches. He spoke for 25 minutes yesterday. 3 feet away sat the President of the United States. 4.5 feet away sat the First Lady, Michelle Obama. And on the other side of the dais sat the Vice President of the United States. And this guy held nothing back. Now, this guy that I speak of, Ben Carson, is a neurosurgeon, also the head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University. Was awarded the Medal of Freedom, the highest civilian honor you can receive in this country, by President George W. Bush. And he was asked to be the guest speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast. What's important for you to remember is that the president is sitting there listening to this, and you can tell that Obama was engaged, and part of the time you could tell he was just ticked. But Carson was speaking truths to a much wider audience, and so he was completely undeterred. One of the things he took on head-on, political correctness.
You know, I have an opportunity to speak in a lot of venues. This is my fourth speech this week, and I have an opportunity to talk to a lot of people, and I've been asking people, what concerns you? What are you most concerned about in terms of the spirituality and the direction of our nation and our world? And I've talked to very prominent Democrats, very prominent Republicans, and I was surprised by the uniformity of their answers. And those have informed my comments this morning. Now, it's not my intention to offend anyone. I have discovered, however, in recent years that it's very difficult to speak to a large group of people these days and not offend someone. And people walk around with their feelings on their shoulders waiting for you to say something. Did you hear that? And they can't hear anything else you say. The PC police are out in force at all times. I remember once I was talking to a group about the difference between a human brain and a dog's brain. And a man got offended. He said, you can't talk about dogs like that. But, you know, people just focus in on that, completely miss the point of what you're saying. And we've reached a point where people are afraid to actually talk about what they want to say because somebody might be offended. People are afraid to say Merry Christmas at Christmas time. It doesn't matter whether the person you're talking to is Jewish or, you know, whether they're any religion. That's a salutation, a greeting of goodwill. We've got to get over this sensitivity.
Okay, you're getting an idea of where this guy comes from. Again, Benjamin Carson, age 61, African-American, grew up in Detroit. His mother, who was illiterate, made him read 2 books a week growing up and prepare book reports that he would submit to her. He did not know she was illiterate, so the mother knew what was important in this young boy's life. And so he would submit these book reports and the mother would hand them back and, you know, put a star here and highlight that, but the mother couldn't actually read the reports. She just knew what was important for her son to do, and that is, if he was going to play, he was also going to read. Television was strictly limited. So this is a strict upbringing in this Detroit household. God, of course, a very important part of his life. He was freely sharing that at the National Prayer Breakfast yesterday.
What about our taxation system? So complex, there is no one who can possibly comply with every jot and tittle of our tax. If I wanted to get you or you, I could get you on a tax issue. That doesn't make any sense. What we need to do is come up with something that's simple. And when I pick up my Bible, you know what I see? I see the fairest individual in the universe, God, And he's given us a system. It's called tithe. Now, we don't necessarily have to do it 10%, but it's principle. He didn't say, if your crops fail, don't give me any tithes. He didn't say, if you have a bumper crop, give me triple tithes. So there must be something inherently fair about proportionality. You make $10 billion, you put in a billion. You make $10, you put in one. Of course, you got to get rid of the loopholes. But now some people say, they say, well, that's not fair because it doesn't hurt the guy who made $10 billion as much as the guy who made 10. Where does it say you have to hurt the guy? He just put $1 billion in the pot. You know, we don't need to hurt him. You know, it's that kind of thinking. It's that kind of thinking that has resulted in 602 banks in the Cayman Islands. That money needs to be back here, building our infrastructure and creating jobs. And we're smart enough to figure out how to do that.
What do you think Obama was doing during this part of the speech? He was staring at Carson with a stone look on his face. Interestingly, First Lady Michelle Obama applauded the speech in several parts where the president did not. And you had Vice President Joe Biden also there. So if Ben Carson, again, a distinguished professor of neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins University, the head of their pediatric neurosurgery unit, wanted a captive audience to really unwind on what was wrong with America, what was right, and how to cure it, he picked the perfect venue. One of the things he talked about was problem solving. And that meant a conversation about doctors and lawyers.
Five doctors signed the Declaration of Independence. Doctors were involved in the framing of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, a whole bunch of things. It's only been in recent decades that we've extracted ourselves, which I think is a big mistake. We need doctors and we need scientists, engineers. We need all of those people involved in government, not just lawyers. I don't have anything against lawyers, but, you know, here's the thing about lawyers. And I'm sorry, but I got to be truthful, okay? Got to be truthful. What do lawyers learn in law school? To win. By hook or by crook, you got to win. So you got all these Democrat lawyers and you got all these Republican lawyers, and all their side wants to win. We need to get rid of that.
He got a big round of applause for saying that. Because a lot of people understand this us against them mentality only takes you so far. Pretty soon it's just win, demonize the opposition, and don't worry about the problem to be solved itself. One of the problems that he said we need to solve, and it's much simpler than it's often made out to be, is health care. Listen to what this guy said about health care, again with Obama sitting 3 feet away.
Health care. We need to have good health care for everybody. It's the most important thing that a person can have. Money means nothing, titles means nothing when you don't have your health. But we got to figure out efficient ways to do it. We spend a lot of money on healthcare, twice as much per capita as anybody else in the world, and yet not very efficient. What can we do? Here's my solution. When a person is born, give them a birth certificate, an electronic medical record, and a health savings account, to which money can be contributed pre-tax from the time you're born to the time you die. When you die, you can pass it on to your family members so that when you're 85 years old and you got six diseases, you're not trying to spend up everything. You're happy to pass it on, and there's nobody talking about death panels. That's number one. And also, you know, for the people who are indigent, who don't have any money, we can make contributions to their HSA each month because we already have this huge pot of money. Instead of sending it to some bureaucracy, let's put it in their HSAs. Now they have some control over their own health care. And what do you think they're going to do? They're going to learn very quickly how to be responsible. When Mr. Jones gets that diabetic foot ulcer, he's not going to the emergency room and blowing a big chunk of it. He's going to go to the clinic. He learns that very quickly. Gets the same treatment in the emergency room. They send him out. In the clinic, they say, now let's get your diabetes under control so you're not back here in 3 weeks with another problem. That's how we begin to solve these kinds of problems.
Okay, what we're hearing here, without him saying it, is anti-Obamacare. Obamacare puts healthcare decisions in fewer and fewer centralized hands. What Dr. Benjamin Carson is talking about with these health services, health savings accounts, is you control costs by unleashing the power of economic competition and consumerism among hundreds of millions of people who all of a sudden have an economic stake in making intelligent healthcare choices. He just gave the example of you have a diabetic lesion you need to take care of. You don't go to the emergency room. You go to the clinic. Now, right now, people go to the emergency room because it doesn't cost them. And, of course, the costs are dramatically higher to be treated in an emergency room. Here is how health savings accounts actually work. They're basically like a 401k. The difference is that you put money every month into a 401k, and it just, you know, stays there and hopefully accumulates value over time. You know, my 401k took a hit over the last few years. Now it's come back again. It's there for retirement. And I guess you could say it's there for financial emergencies should one arise as well. A health savings account, a little different. What happens is your employer would buy a high deductible insurance plan, which will save his company or her company a whole lot of money. By getting the high deductible plan, of course, that means you would have to be on the hook for everything up to that deductible. That's where your health savings account comes in. Your employer puts a certain amount of money into your health savings account, and you use that money for non-emergency health care spending. So someone, you know, needs a flu shot, comes out of the health savings account. Need a physical for camp? Health savings account. Annual physical, annual checkup, health savings account. It pays, you use that money that is put in there pre-tax, so your employer comes out of it, or if you're self-employed, you come out of it with economic advantage. And at the end of the year, if you have, say, another $1,000 left in your health savings account, you don't use it or lose it, it rolls over. So that very soon, you will have a health savings account that will equal the amount up to your deductible. So, you know, most people don't approach their deductible, but the health savings account would cushion you from that. And think of all these, again, tens of millions of households covering hundreds of millions of people that would be choosing to spend money. You know, they would actually ask the pharmacy, now, how much would this prescription cost here as opposed to filling it at Costco, as opposed to filling it at Bartell, as opposed to filling it at Walgreens? You would be as choosy about non-emergency health care as you are when you're buying over-the-counter things like headache medicine or antacid, you know, Tums or whatnot. You know, most people shop. They compare prices when they're buying healthcare products, but they don't when they're buying healthcare services, because they say, well, that'll be on the health plan, and you know, there'll be a copay, and you know, eventually I'll, you know, work up to what the deductible is. What health savings accounts say are, no, don't worry, don't go there. Just the money that you save from wise purchasing of healthcare services, like the money you save from the wise purchase of healthcare, over-the-counter healthcare products, that money stays in your pocket, stays in your health savings account. And like it accumulates with time. And you can tap into that account for other purposes down the line once the account is filled. So this would be the ultimate in healthcare, but what it puts its faith in is marketplace competition to hold down costs and the power of tens of millions of American consumers. The other direction, the one we are headed in, Obamacare, which I think takes us on a slow motion step toward escalator toward single payer, puts healthcare decisions into fewer and fewer hands. I really like Benjamin Carson. I knew of him, but did not fully appreciate this man, his depth, his breadth, and his courage. This is a guy with remarkable things to contribute to this country, who already has. But giving witness the way he did and tying the success of his life to the importance of God, Christ, and religion, of course, the purpose for the National Prayer Breakfast, talking about how we should be unified as a country and as a people, but also being very clear about what direction we need to go in. I mean, without saying it in so many words, you could easily say that Benjamin Carson is the anti-Obama. This is a guy who would not be afraid to release his transcripts and his grades. This is someone who was a super achiever, someone who did grow up in very modest circumstances, someone who understands from the ground up how you build a successful life, and that those are the identical building blocks to building a great country.